Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. Today, I've got an awesome guest for you. He's a very good friend of mine. He has done some astounding things over lockdown in terms of his business. He is a personal trainer. His name is Terry Anderson, and he went from zero followers on TikTok to 70,000 in about 6 months, which is pretty impressive. And the quality of his content is very, very high, as you would expect. Otherwise, I wouldn't get him on something like The Fitness Solution. I just wanted to get him on and talk to him because I've noticed on TikTok, especially, but on social media in general, obviously it has its good points and its bad points, has its highs and its lows. But TikTok is a very brutal place. It reminds me a lot of what Instagram was like maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. And some of the advice out there is terrifyingly worrying. It's completely unsolicited. It's you've got people with politics degrees advising people on how to do a celery juice diet. It's just a massive mishmash, and there's lots of people getting a lot of traction on there. And I just wanted to talk to Terry about what he's seen on there, some of the good things, some of the bad things, and get a balance of it all, and to basically put out a public service announcement to say, look, be very careful who you take your advice from in general. He's a lovely guy. I'd recommend you go and follow him at Terry, at Coach Anderson UK, I believe it is. I better check that now. He's going to kill me for this. At Coach Anderson UK. And he's just a lovely bloke, as you'll hear on the recording and the interview. Don't forget, you can join the Fitness Collective at any moment you want, which is my exclusive members group for clients, where there's 250 workouts, 250 meal plans, there's yoga, there's meditations, there's motivation challenges, you get weekly coaching from me, you get coaching calls. It's the lot. It's your one-stop shop for fitness, fat loss, and fun. If you want to join that, then just head to www.thegymstarter.com. And all the information is in there. Right, that's enough from me. Let's head over to Coach Anderson UK. And the next voice you'll hear will be me and Terry having a good old chin wag. Welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. On the other end of the line today, I've got a dear friend of mine called Terry Anderson, or Coach Terry Anderson, as he likes to be known. And Terry's had a really successful lockdown. He's done some great things. I wanted to get him on here today to talk to everybody about sort of what we've both kind of noticed on mainly TikTok, because Terry went from zero to, what is it now, 35, 36,000?
77.
All right, shut up. to 77,000 followers on TikTok in about 4, 6 months?
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. But that means that he's got a great wealth of knowledge for the platform and what we see on the platform. And what I've seen on the platform is a very mixed bag of good information, which Terry is very attributable to, very bad information, which we've both kind of come across and spoken about before we decided to do this podcast, and everything in between. And also there's some really brutal people on there with some really brutal comments. And it can be quite a dangerous place, I think, as well. So we're just going to kind of break it down and see what kind of stories Terry's got from the world of TikTok and stuff. And then obviously, I'm sure from that, we'll talk all good things, fitness, fat loss, and fun. Terry is also like a female fat loss coach like myself, which is great. So I'm sure we'll have a lot in common, a lot to share with you. So sorry, that's a really long introduction, Terry. How the hell are you?
I am good, although I have just, you've paused on me.
Oh, no. So, are you all right?
Yeah, I can see me moving, but you're paused.
Okay.
I
mean, you're coming through just fine with me, so we'll just crack on to what happens.
Okay, cool.
Despite the technical issues, you're right, yeah?
I am good, yeah. I'm currently kind of juggling moving house and working. Totally different to how, you know, a year ago I was just personal training in a gym mainly. Now I'm completely online, really, and between houses, like I said, moving, doing courses, life feels pretty full on, but it's good. It's certainly, lockdown has been probably a positive blur for me, which has been good.
That's great. I'm not sure many people kind of have that experience of it. So what made you start doing TikTok videos?
Do you know what? I I spent the back end of last year really kind of knuckling down on Instagram and thinking, right, I'm just going to keep putting my message out there and doing what I want to do with that. I wanted to take my business more mobile, more online. And Instagram was just really hard to grow. And it wasn't because I wanted more following. It was that I wanted to get my message out there and make the business that I know I could run like more effective in that sense. And I was finding that I was just knuckling down. I just kept on doing it with Instagram. And then I saw that TikTok had kind of come on, and I sort of started like playing around with it to start with my mates, and I was like messing around. And then I started thinking, hold on a minute. I think I saw a video, which was, I can't remember who it was. It was someone who I respected on Instagram, and I saw them do an informational video, and I was like, ah, this could change. Like, this could be a game changer for TikTok. And I just kind of thought to myself, get on there, start just like posting some videos and see what happens. A couple of videos which had nothing to do with fitness just blew up and went to like, you know, one of them went to like 500,000 views. And I was like, wow, this is insane. And then I thought, right, I will niche down now and start just almost replicating what I do and the same message I put out on Instagram on TikTok. And at first it was a bit weird because most people were just dancing. And I mean, I was joining in on the trends and having fun with it. So I was trying to put like a fitness spin on a dance trend or something like that. But it just started to like pick up. And then now there's almost like a whole educational like plethora of people on there that are doing that same thing. I just happened to pick it up quite early, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have like an extreme love-hate relationship with it, like I do most social media sites, to be honest. But I mean, your success was nothing short of remarkable, to be honest. And it was like, I saw you messing around. I was like, oh, Terry's doing it. Maybe I should do it as well. And you obviously ran with it, and I kind of got a bit frustrated with it, and I probably got a bit shy, to be honest, which is not like me. And it was just amazing. And sort of, there seems to be no, what I can tell out of TikTok is there seems to be no real no real pattern to how it's going to behave. It's so bloody random. It's scary. Like, I've got a video, my most successful video is about masturbation, which is absurd, which was literally just a comment I had on Instagram that I turned into a video and put it onto TikTok. And it's up to something like, I think it's up to something stupid, like 200,000 views. And it just, every day it gets a new comment. It's like, what's going on? And like, I put out some of my best fitness content and no one gives a crap. And it's really irritating.
I had the same, like I do like reposts as well, or duet people as well. So if I find content that's either like really bad or really good, I'll duet it. And I did a duet with Jordan Sire, and it did okay for me on the first time round. And then I like to keep the content kind of drip feeding out. So sometimes I'll repost an old video that maybe some of my new followers haven't seen. And I reposted the Jordan Sire video, and it absolutely exploded to 500,000 views. And I was like, the first time around, it probably got like, you know, 20,000. There's absolutely no reason. I can't tell you why that was or what happened. But the second time around, when it got reposted, just blew up. And like you say, that it doesn't really seem to... I do realize that good quality content does seem to do better on there. But it is, again, finding that time to... It's a balance between just putting out lots of content, which is pretty good, or spending hours making one 15-second video just so that the quality is better. And I'm definitely more in the first one, where I'm just tend to put more out and hope that, you know, some of it will take off, some of it doesn't. The idea with me is just keep giving out information. I'm not really looking for them to go viral. It just, obviously it helps when they do, but, you know, I'm not like trying to make them go viral as such.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's one of the good things about TikTok, I suppose. You kind of can't, can you? The audience dictates it.
Yeah.
Because of how limited you are on the hashtags and the captions and stuff like that. So that is useful. So, I mean, yeah, that's, it's just mental what you've achieved. It really is. And it's fantastic. And I'm so happy for you. I really am. Like I said, there's one particular person who I saw you do a duet with, and then I followed on. I was like, I've got to do this as well, because it's just
terrible information telling people that they can lose 2 stone in 21 days by drinking keto juice and stuff like that. And there's a real underworld to it, isn't there? So come on, what's some of your best stories and some of your best videos about like what's just been terrible? We don't have to like give away any accounts if you don't want to or anything like that, but there's some bad info out there, isn't there?
The problem is it's completely there seems to be this like not a trend, but there seems to be something going around where people are getting huge accounts. Like I'm talking 1 million people following these kids, and all the kids are doing are duetting other, like they're like rating things. And so like I've seen videos that are rating diets or rating water fasting. And it's done by a 17-year-old kid who I researched into him a little bit. He's like a politics student in America. Who's 17, and he's...
Is he a Republican?
Yeah, he's telling people how to do water fasting and the effects of ketosis, like 3 to 5, 7 days into water fasting, and how great you'll feel at day eight. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how is this... And it had something stupid like 700,000 likes on that video and 37,000 comments. And I was like, I've got to duet this. Because this is absolutely crazy advice. And it just blows my mind that there's no, you know, like in most social media, there's no real soliciting of what you can put out. Anyone can put out anything. But there are influencers, like in the fitness industry, there are fitness influencers and there are good and bad fitness influencers. But you don't really get like someone random who puts out some fitness advice. Right. On TikTok, you've got anyone giving out anything, which is just seems a bit kind of random at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, that was one. I've had one which was like putting vapor rub on your belly and then put a waist trainer on and go to sleep like that. Oh, my goodness. I was like, you'll wake up with chemical burns probably. and it's just that people, especially during lockdown, the thing that's been crazy is more people have been on the platform because they're bored at home in lockdown. But then people are giving out this crazy advice. And because everyone seems to be like putting weight on over lockdown, or, you know, a lot of people have put on weight over lockdown, they're looking for that, I need to get my body back quickly. And so they're turning to these like crazy solutions, which it just, you know, it's not a good thing for people's like, you know, physical and mental health, because they're only going to find out down the line that they didn't work, or they're going to put the weight back on or whatever. And for me, I'm like, I feel like I need to tell everyone, like, don't do that. Or if I see a good, like I follow a few dietitians, like Leanne Ward, she puts out great videos. And Steph Grasso, she puts out good videos. And you know, when I see good advice, I equally will duet that and say, you know, like, go follow this person. This is what you should be listening to. And the same with any of, you know, I know that, you know, we've got some mutual friends and I'll duet their videos as well, because I know that they're putting out good advice. And now I have got a bigger following. It's nice to be able to clarify those things. But yeah, it's been a pretty kind of roller coaster ride. At the start, there wasn't much of it, but now there's a whole lot of crap out there.
Yeah, I find it just makes me so angry. Like some of the advice out there, it doesn't make me angry because I think, well, you know, they're getting lots of people looking at it and all the rest of it. It makes me angry because like some of the advice I've seen could actually properly physically damage people.
Yeah,
and I suppose. I'm supposed the other people who have these accounts will probably look at me and go, well, that's rubbish advice. You're telling people that it could take them up to a year to lose 10 pounds. And I'm like, well, yeah, because in my experience, that's what seems realistic. And what I can see from what you're putting out there, it doesn't seem realistic. And we're always going to have these opposing views, right? But I find it's a very cutting place as well. People very much just say whatever the hell they want on there without care or regard for anyone, like the person who's created the video, the person who's responding to the video or anything. Like it's just, it feels like it's kind of a bit like war on there to me at times. Have you had any of that, like some real negativity, some awful comments?
I've had, weirdly, like I like to think with regards to social media, I mean, I don't have really, I have a personal Facebook account. I have TikTok started as a personal account, but it's not really anymore. It's more work, but I don't really have a personal Instagram or anything like that. Like when I'm not working, I don't spend my time on social media. It doesn't bother me, but I see the benefit of social media, especially for my job. But I see, and this is the first time ever, you know, I have all social media that I've got caught up in something. And I was like, I need to like take a step back here because I'm never going to be able to please everyone. And I got caught up on the Jordan Syatt video. And it was about, you can eat pizza if you want. You can have ice cream if you want. I can't remember what foods exactly it was, but it was like all kind of sugary and high fat foods, but saying like, you can do it. As long as you're in a calorie deficit, you're going to burn fat. It's not the most healthy way of doing it necessarily, but you're going to burn fat. And I had these people just go at me about insulin and about Jason Fung and the obesity code. And I'm actually reading that book now because I want to have the other side of it. And I know that for me, I know my standpoint. I know the argument that already brings without reading the book, but I'm reading it because I actually found myself at that point. I was like, I've got people who have no qualifications whatsoever. They've never worked with a human being in this field. And they are just, they've read one book, which was Jason Fung's book. And they are going at me about the fact that you can be in a calorie surplus and it's all to do with your hormones and women should be taking testosterone to balance their hormones. And I was like, I was like, this is bonkers. But I was trying to defend myself and like Jordan. Yeah. And I was just like, I spent ages just in this argument with these two people. And I was like, do you know what? I'm never going to actually please these people. So I need to just remove myself from this conversation.
I know Jordan said to me once when he kind of started blowing up his TikTok, he went, he was like, my block finger is so strong at the moment. And he was like, I just go through and just block the crap out of them. Because in fairness, like, granted, there has to be an element of balance to what we put out there, and it's important you understand what people are listening to, reading and stuff like that. But actually, the way you're creating your balance by educating yourself, reading the book they're talking about, is far better than you just jumping down their throats and going, you're wrong, you need to do this and everything else. You know, you're creating a balance through knowledge as opposed to a balance through opinion. And that's something these people fail. You know, it's like they're not going to pick up a book about energy balance or something like that, because they're already sold. They're sold down a river on this crazy idea. I started reading the Obesity Code, and I think I only got like two chapters in, and I was like, I can't handle this anymore. It's such intense advice.
The reason why I was like, okay. This guy's a doctor, you know, he obviously knows what he's talking about in terms of physiology of the body, but he is giving a very left field approach to what is a well-known, you know, kind of area and well-researched area. And I was like, on the other hand, I know a lot of doctors who are very much in the calorie deficit kind of field. And I'm like, well, why are they changing their opinion so much? And, you know, from what I can get is that it doesn't take into account any real life or environmental factors. I was like, because the reason why I wanted to read it is because I was like, I've got like 10 years of anecdotal evidence of people eating what they want. I got down to 5% body fat myself, still drinking beer and having a kebab at the weekend sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, that can't be anything to do with like the fact I've never ever cut out carbs like that. I've always lived in a calorie deficit and burnt more. And it's the approach I've always taken with my clients. And I get results day in, day out with them. And I'm like, just the anecdotal evidence that I have surely suggests that this is not right. And I deal with, you know, like menopausal women, people who have gone through the menopause, people who are premenopausal, all of these things where their hormones are literally all over the place. And my just anecdotal evidence alone just suggests that that's not right, that you have to go and take testosterone in order to lose weight. And I'm like, what? It is madness. So it's, even if in theory and the science of it suggests it can work, in reality it's not going to ever cure obesity as a an epidemic, because it's just not practical. It doesn't work. And you know, like I just found myself getting caught up in those comments, and I was like, actually, I need to read this book because they're so far that way, and it seems so, you know, left field for me just in reality. And you know, it's kind of confirming it. I'm going to get through the whole book because I want to read it all. But where I'm at right now, I'm like, it's not really taking into account anything in kind of like real life.
Yeah, maybe I should revisit it and just check in with it, because it seems to be a bigger and bigger fight we're having at the moment in like the calorie deficiters as we are, compared to, you know, the insuliners on the other side of the equation. And I think it probably would be best to arm yourself as best as possible. I mean, I can't comment too much because, like I say, I haven't read it all. But what I did read, it just, I think I was just more in shock that someone who calls himself a doctor, and it just goes to show, doesn't it? It's like, it doesn't matter what someone is, like, it doesn't necessarily give them any justification for the information they're putting out there. So just because they are a doctor and they've managed to pass medical school, does not necessarily mean that they're in a better advantageous position to advise people on things like this compared to you or I who aren't doctors. Granted, I don't have DR in front of my name. I don't have a Master of Science or anything like that. But then a lot of these doctors, I find, like, have you been watching the Channel 4 documentary at the moment? Like, How to Lose a Stone in 21 Days or something like that?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I am going to watch. My friends told me about it, so I'm going to catch up with it.
I watched one episode of it. It's just infuriating. Full of weight stigmatization, full of terrible coaching. And he's married to a GP. So she's a GP, and his wife deals with all the food. But he's a doctor, but he's like a doctor of psychology. He's not a doctor of physical health. He's not a doctor of anything that would necessarily lend itself to physical training or coaching people how to lose weight. And it is terrifyingly poor. And then he didn't make his name as a doctor. He made his name as a journalist. And now he's got a Channel 4 documentary telling people to get into ketosis to lose weight.
The biggest thing that I'm reading is, or that I've seen so far, is that, you know, that yes, obviously it's going to be good for the body to reduce your, you know, insulin resistance and become more insulin sensitive. That's going to benefit everyone. But the way they're doing it is just not practical. It's literally, it means that you have to live this life of no, you know, no sugar, no anything at all. Like, we've got to eat the same diet for everyone because that's how we should eat. It just doesn't take into account emotional factors, you know, physiological differences, environmental differences, socioeconomic differences, all of this, which, you know, around the world, do you think where there's an obesity crisis in, I don't know, Mexico, where, you know, it's cheaper to get Coke than it is water, do you think they're going to go and take testosterone to sort their, you know, their insulin sensitivity out and balance their hormones in order to lose weight? No, it's never going to happen. And so it's just not practical advice, even if it was something that worked. You know, I haven't even got to that kind of depth of it yet. But, you know, it even straight from the off, like learning that, it's just not practical. And so, you know, working with my clients and understanding that every individual is different. Everyone, you know, yes, their hormonal profile is different, but their whole life is different to the next person. And so you've got to find an approach that fits, that takes the science, which we all know that the calorie deficit model does work, and that's how you lose fat. And when you apply that science in a flexible way to individuals' different lives, that's what gets me the results with my clients. That's what I've always done with myself. And, you know, without even knowing it, across the last 25 years, like, I've lived that. And whenever I've put weight on, it is because of the simple fact that I've either not been watching what I've been eating so much, or I've been more inactive. And when I'm able to help people enjoy the process and stuff like that, like, that's what gets me the results. And so now, you know, putting out the message I put out, I feel confident in doing that because it's really kind of, I've got that anecdotal evidence and I've got the kind of the people like yourself and Jordan and all the other guys that, you know, we come across in the industry who are seeing a similar message. You know, it's nice to know that you're all doing that and you've almost like got each other's backs against this because social media is so volatile at times. And it is the first time I've kind of experienced it where I started to get involved in the comments and I was like, nah, I need to, this is exactly what I don't want from social media.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that can cause lots of anxiety and things like that, which is a whole other issue, isn't it? I imagine like having such a huge following, it probably does cause, you probably feel a lot of pressure when you put something out there. I mean, I do, and I don't have anywhere near the following you've got or anything like that. But sometimes when I put something out there that's going to be a touch controversial or something that I think is maybe a bit near the mark or something like that, then I get a bit nervous. Or if someone like someone asked me to do a video on TikTok for them about I can't remember what it was, like I think it was like do fruit and vegetables help you gain weight or something like that, and I kind of did a bit of a terse response in hindsight to him, and I think I misunderstood the question a little bit, but I did the video and it was a bit kind of mocking a little bit, just like fruit, no one ever got fat from eating too many fruits and veggies and stuff like that, so you've got nothing to worry about. Yeah. I think it was a message I tried to put out there, but I kind of probably just misjudged it a little bit, probably in a fit of excitement. And he came back and was like, yeah, I thought you was really patronizing. That's ridiculous. And I was like, oh crap. Now I've disappointed that guy. And that's just one instance for me. It's one guy, one video, one time. And yeah. Now, like, if you know, multiply that by 75,000, it's probably, there must be a massive element of, we're all in this to try and help as many people as possible. But in doing that, you're also going to piss off or not help as many people as you are trying to help. And I imagine at some point you have to come across and just trust that you're going to pick your audience and they'll find you, and you can't worry about the people who you're not helping because you can only stick to helping those who you can, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've definitely experienced some imposter syndrome over the last
had that over the last few weeks massively. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, it's literally, you know, the fact that one of my biggest videos that probably, you know, got me a significant amount of followers from that video alone was me duetting Jordan. So it's actually like me saying, go and look at his information. And I'm like, well, these people have followed me because I know that deep down they're following my page and following me because, yes, I put out, for every one duet I do, I'll do like four of my own videos. And so they like my content as a whole. But when you're getting loads of people commenting and then talking and asking about this information, and it was actually Jordan's video originally, I was like, I feel like an imposter. And I feel like maybe I don't warrant this following. I don't warrant the fact that these people are coming to me for information because I've actually shared someone else's, which has got me a lot of information and a lot of followers. But then I have to keep telling myself that the way I put my information across is I put my message out, and if someone has got a similar message, I will say to people, go also follow them because they're going to put out great info. And so is this person. And then I'll duet one where I'm like, don't follow this because this is bad advice. And so when people then start to follow myself, and they'll follow Jordan, they'll follow you, and they'll follow everyone else that, you know, I might duet and tell them to go and follow, I know that actually that's part of what I'm giving to people, is this like plethora of information of, yes, this is my stance on things, but also they give great information as a registered dietitian, and they're a great psychologist. You know, Dr. Julie Smith.
She's amazing, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I need to convince Richard Nichols to get a TikTok account as well, because he'll be amazing on there as well.
And it makes a difference. Like, you know, I think to myself, I'm sharing that information because I know it's good and I think that my followers will enjoy that. But yeah, geez, like when you blow up like that, you're like, oh, I just had this like massive thing. I started thinking I need to study more. Maybe I should go back to university and do, you know, my master's degree just to make sure that I have got all the knowledge that, you know, I'm saying. And you just start thinking like all this horrible crap that really I know everyone goes through it, especially if you're, you know, you're gaining some success or whatever. A lot of people, I mean, I read James Smith's book over lockdown as well. And, you know, he's one that said like he had a massive bout of imposter syndrome whilst he kind of blew up. And I think it's only normal when you're giving advice to people, you sometimes have that kind of reality check of, is what I'm doing actually, you know, correct? And I think it keeps us grounded. I think there's an element of it which is probably useful, but it's definitely not, it's the first time I've experienced it. And you kind of feel like the social media grip is on you a little bit.
I find I get big bouts of imposter syndrome when it exploits something that I already feel weak about in myself. So like, you know, I am quite confident I could coach as like a mindset coach. I can coach anyone in the world and I can definitely get them to improve their mind without a shadow of a doubt. Like I'm just naturally very talented at doing that, mainly because of my background in acting, right? But when I start listening to, you know, people like, as you said, Jordan or James or Brett Contreras, or, you know, all these people who are just like another elite level above of me in terms of actual physical training of the body. And like, you know, like they can name every muscle in the body and all of its insertions and origins and all these places. And, you know, I'm sure you're probably much well versed in that than I am as well, because I was an out of work actor turned coach because I love coaching people, because I like being with people and like improving them. I had to learn physical fitness very much as a sideshow to that. And I had to tag it on and then like provide my coaching services as a personal trainer. So like I get huge bouts of imposter syndrome when it comes to the physical body and when it comes to writing programming and when it comes to understanding what muscles need to work here, there and everywhere and everything else. And actually I found a really useful tool in overcoming that is when I have to sit down and write a long form article for my website or for a magazine or something, because I have to research it so much and I learn so much doing that. Like I did one the other day on the push-up, how to get your first push-up. And like I learned so much in terms of what muscles go into doing a push-up, and it shocked me. And I'm sure there's not many personal trainers out there who do know all the muscles, like, you know, like your serratus anterior and, you know, your biceps femoris and all these things. It's like, really, that's in a freaking push-up? And it's like, yeah. And it does. And I find myself withdraw and I get very scared. And I think that's what happened to me on TikTok quite a lot. I was just like, I just can't do it. I'm just not there for it, you know? And it is terrifying and it causes a lot of anxiety.
I think for me is that, like, I know it, you almost need to, you feel like when you are growing, or if I'm putting, you know, like if I've got like a fairly big following on there, then I'm supposed to have this, like, I feel like I'm supposed to have like my brand of like what I put out, and it should be unique so that people are like, you know, when you see Jordan's no bullshit advice or James Smith, like you can tell their video straight from the off, or their way of communicating. And even like for yourself, like you know, your brand that you put out on like Instagram is so unique and great to you. And like I found myself, I was like, am I just this like mishmash of everyone?
Yeah.
And I'm not really like anyone, you know? And I had that, and I was like, but no, like I know the customer that I like to serve. I know that I get results with them. I know that, you know, like I've got some clients who have stayed with me for like 10 years and I still coach them now. And I'm like, there's got to be a reason why that happens, when other personal trainers will
turn them over every 12
years. Like they fail in the first year because they couldn't hold on to a client. And I've got probably 15 hours of clients, you know, whilst not in a pandemic, but 15 hours of clients that I've had for over 7 years.
Yeah.
And like, and there's something in that. And I know that like, you can't always portray that or shout about that kind of thing, but it's what I do when I'm with my clients that I know is my personal brand. and how I contact, you know, how I communicate with people, the way that I might speak to them on the phone, or the way that I'll celebrate a success with them. That's me. And, you know, when I feel like when I do post videos and stuff, like, it is always me giving, I'm not trying to be somebody else. But yeah, that imposter syndrome, it kind of comes and goes, like, at various times, and you don't really know why it's there or whatever, but it definitely does creep up sometimes.
It does. I think like, having followed you on Instagram from when you had like 120 followers to where you're at now, and kind of, I think what TikTok really has done for you in terms of that is it allowed you to find your voice a lot more. So like, it's lovely that you say that that, you know, I've got quite a strong brand on Instagram and things like that. And now also like on YouTube, like over lockdown, I've kind of doubled down on YouTube, and that's been crazy. And I love working in that format. Like, that longer form format is just means so much to me. And it's a lot better for me. I'm just a long form guy. Like, a video in 15 seconds just ain't enough for me. And I think TikTok allowed you to find your voice. And I personally think I see a very different Terry on TikTok that I do on Instagram. And I think you've bridged that gap a lot better now compared to when you kind of first kicked off. And it's important. And I think that's all I did, really, is like, YouTube helped me find my voice. It helped me produce as if I was talking to someone over the camera, as if they were a coach in front of me and stuff. And once you can do that, that's how you build that brand, and you build that solidity behind what you're trying to do, right?
I'm glad, yeah, like, you know, now you say that, I'm glad you kind of said that. When I first started TikTok, I was like, I need to hide this shit from everyone, because like, no one needs to see me dancing around my mum's garden at the age of 32. So that said, like, now Instagram Reels has come out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I put a couple of my TikToks on my Instagram stories a couple of times. And I had like mates from uni or whatever, like, going, what the hell, you spent too much time at home, mate. Like, and stuff like this. And I was like, oh shit, yeah, maybe this isn't right for like Instagram. But yet, as I've gone through TikTok, like, my videos that I put across on there, it is me. Like, I do like to joke, I do like to mess around. I am 100% like a beer at a weekend as much as the next person. And to be afraid to put that out on Instagram, because it's like, you've got to put out all this perfect advice all the time. Now that Reels is there on Instagram, I've been sharing across my TikTok, and actually I feel like I'm getting, like you say, like, I'm actually not afraid so much now to just go, do you know what, here's a video of me.
Yeah. I think that was my issue with TikTok. I was like, I have to be some stupid like idiot on there, and I was like, I'm just not that kind of guy. Like, I hate fancy dress. Like, I'm an actor, right? And I hate fancy dress. Yeah. I hate, like, I'm happy to make a fool of myself, and I'm happy to be silly, and I'm happy to be daft, but I'm not happy to contrive those moments. And on TikTok, it kind of felt like to me, that's what you had to do. I don't know why, but that's just what got into my brain. And it wasn't at all. And that's why on YouTube, I'm like, oh, I can be my serious coachy self here. Yeah. And I moved it onto there and decided, and I've loved it. But I think that was the issue I had with TikTok. It wasn't able to be my voice, and it's taken me a while for it to find my voice. And the same on Instagram. And also, there's always an element of, you're gonna chase, we're all chasing, trying to build our businesses, aren't we, on there? So we're always gonna get seduced by trends, we're always gonna get seduced by the things that people feel like people want to see, to try and build things up in the hope that we might find someone for our coaching system or whatever it might be, and everything else. But really, they're all going to flood to you once, you know. It's like what you said to me the other day when I was messaging you, and you're like, dude, don't worry about it. Like, you shine through your posts and stuff, and it means a lot. And it did. I really needed to hear that day. And people will come to you when they come to you, because it's clear and obvious who you are and what you do and how you can help people. But it's very easy to lose sight of that sometimes, especially when you've been banging your head against the wall for like 4 or 5 years on it, and you feel like you're making very, very slow progress. But I suppose we just have to relate it to weight loss, right? And then we'll get perspective on it.
That's it, yeah. And you know, like, I'll see people who blow up overnight, either still on Instagram, even, which seems to be an impossible task these days, but, and then even more on TikTok, but, you know, and you, sometimes you're like, oh, maybe I am like going too slow or whatever, but actually, do you know what? Like, one massive difference I've seen is, or sorry, not a massive difference. What I was doing like a year ago still gained me the clients that I wanted in my business, that I haven't seen like this like completely massive like transition into like, oh, I'm this like influencer, like flooded with so much business, in that the right people find you. Like, if somebody is waiting for that type of person to coach them and then they come across you, then they will reach out to you. And it doesn't matter if you've got, you know, a million followers or, you know, 1,000. If you're putting out the message and you're just being you, like, people will find you. And I'd say, like, I was when I had 1,000 followers a year ago, that was it, you know. I was still able to get clients online because still then I was putting out my message. It's just it goes out to a lot more people now. But I think, you know, that's the one thing, if I was ever to like give any social media advice in that sense, it is just don't worry about your following or anything like that. Just put out your what you want to put out, because ultimately you'll still attract people. The right people will come to you. You only need one follower to be a client, you know. You don't need 10,000 to have one, you know. You might only get one client from 10,000 followers, especially if the wrong video blows up, you know. So yeah, that's I think that's where, you know, the other day when I was being serious, like, I highly respect you, and the fact that, like, you know, anything to do with video, I admired you. I did not want to go on camera a year ago, no way. Like, I did not want to be in front of anything, and then between doing stories, I know we've kind of been through a similar process the last year, and starting out by just doing more stories and getting more comfortable. Whereas I saw you and I was like, oh, this guy is the shit. Like, he's so good on camera. And it just, you know, that freaked me out back then. But then, I've just developed my way of doing it. But you're doing yours. And you know, I would freak out about the thought of doing long form stuff because I feel like I waffle a lot.
Yeah. It's like, it's a lot of practice. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, YouTube, look, I wouldn't be able to do YouTube if I had to spend a long time editing my video. So what do I mean by that? Like, if I had to cut out all the waffle, if I had to cut out all the ums, the ahs and everything else, I'm like, I'd get so frustrated sitting there, and a YouTube video would go from taking me maybe an hour to produce to taking me maybe 6 or 7 to produce. And that's not useful for me. But when I first started doing podcasts, my fiance, she used to listen to them, and she used to go, you do say and ah a lot, don't you? And I've literally had to train myself to stop saying and ah. And I've had to, and what I do now is, if I feel like it's coming, I'll just take a big deep breath, I'll look off camera, I gather my thoughts, and then I'll go again. And that's that. And if I can find them when I am editing, I can take them out. And if I don't, I don't have to, because it's not, it doesn't affect the rhythm too much. You just sound like a normal human being talking. And it was the first one I put out there was scary. Like, it took me a long time to get done. And if you go back and watch it now compared to my newer ones, they're so different. And I've only been doing it really, what, 4 or 5 months. But yeah. I've never been scared to just take my time on camera. And a lot of people, when they see that little, well, green light on here, but that little red light turn on, they clam up, they get very nervous, and everything feels like it's overemphasized. But it's no different to doing an overhead press. It's no different to doing a bench press. Like, you have to know when to tense up, and you have to know when to relax. And the more you relax before you have to tense up, the easier it's going to be. So just stay calm, stay relaxed, and just do it. And there's moments I go, no, that one was rubbish, let's reset. And no, that one was rubbish, let's reset. But generally, like, I've got the method down very well now, and it does just fly. But it's like anything, you've just got to start practicing it. So I saw you said you was going to start a YouTube channel a month ago.
Yeah, like, I was about to say, like, I put a poll out because someone asked me the question, like, you know, you should do a YouTube channel, and immediately imposter syndrome like kicks in. And I was like, oh my God, like I am comfortable doing little 15-second snippets, but I know that I waffle. And it's just like, it's a joke within my friends how I waffle. And I was like, I can't do that. Like a YouTube thing. So I put a poll out and I was like, I wonder how many people would want that. Like 80%. And it was my best. It was like the highest voted poll I've ever done on Instagram. Yeah. And they were like, 80% of them were like, yes, we want to see YouTube. And so like for the last month or so, I'm like, right, when am I going to do it? And it's more because I don't want to, like you say, like I feel busy enough at the moment as well, like between studying and looking after clients and all the stuff that I currently do. I'm like, I know I'm going to have to spend 10 days to edit a video because I'm going to be waffling so much. And I was like, how, it's more that. And I'm like, how am I going to get around that? So yeah, I mean, I haven't made that jump yet because, not because I think I'm, it wouldn't work. It's because I know that I need a lot of practice with that. And I'd also need a lot of editing practice as well.
Why don't you start with like, I don't know, on Reels or something called IGTV and just start building up to like 2-3 minute videos. And then there's nothing wrong with like a 2 minute, like I did a 2 minute video yesterday on negative push-ups. And yeah, it had like 3.6 thousand views overnight. I was like, bloody hell. And it doesn't have to be 20 minutes, half an hour. In fact, my longer form one, I probably don't have the audience yet to hold people's attention for that long yet, but I still put them out there because, you know, yeah. I think for those who do want to watch it, it's still very useful information. But I find I record in blocks. So it's not like I don't just keep the camera running the whole time. And it's like, I'm just talking, like once I'm done, once I finish the thought, I lose my train of thought, I'll cut it, I'll save it. And then when I have a video ready, I've probably got like 10 snippets of the video, and then I'll put them in order. So I'll save it like metabolism 1, metabolism 2, metabolism 3. So I know what order I've recorded them in, and then I'll put them in, and then I'll just put them together basically. And it's just a little jump cut, which people are more and more used to seeing these days. And as long as you keep the camera in the same place and the lights in the same place, it doesn't really matter too much. And it's just kind of gone from there. And that's probably how I've managed to get my edit time down. But I've produced films with Oscar winners, and I've had films in the Cannes Film Festival and stuff. So I know my way around an edit suite. So that's all right, you know?
That's like crazy is my mum like takes the piss out of me because I, like, the amount of times I'm editing and retaking a 15-second video, I'm like I'm just saying the same thing over and over again and like editing it and retaking it, and I was like, geez, if I tried to do a 5-minute video, this would be hell.
I'm sure you'll get used to it, man. And then, you know, it's just a case of thinking about the number one question that you get asked and start with that one, you know. That's what I do. Yeah. And go from there, buddy. Yeah. Well, it's been a good chat, mate. I look forward to your YouTube channel starting.
Yes. Thank you. I'll tell you what, I will make one and I will tag you in it when I put it out there.
I look forward to it, mate. That'd be great. This will go on YouTube, so... That's something you can have to start. So that would be good. Please tell everyone how they can get a hold of you and where you're from and all the rest of it, you know, all your handles and whatnot.
Yeah, so my handles are at Coach Anderson UK on TikTok and Instagram, and also on Facebook, my Facebook page, which I don't use loads, but it's still / Coach Anderson UK. And yeah, I mean, I'm on kind of mainly Instagram and TikTok every day, 2 or 3 times a day posting out information. So yeah, that's the best way to get hold of me, or DM me on Instagram if you find me or you have any questions. I aim to answer everyone's questions on DM that do message me. For me, I want to give out as much advice as possible. So if I can help someone, you know, the things that kind of, I think literally still on my story at the moment, I had a message from someone saying that they'd lost 15 kilos in lockdown thanks to my advice. And I was like, it's just from watching my videos. And it's not, and that advice is, you know, legally we have to give out the basic advice, but it's from that, they, you know, they've messaged me and said, thank you so much. And when I get that, like, I'm like, oh yes, this is why I do it. And so, yeah, feel free to DM me or questions or anything like that if you're watching this.
One thing I always tell my clients on that point is never, ever, ever underestimate the power you can have on someone without ever knowing you're having it. And like, especially when clients are scared about, scared about making a change or scared about putting themselves out there or whatever. Like, for instance, on my YouTube, I've got two videos that I took a client on a 30-day weight loss kind of plan. Not a plan. It was a scale challenge. So I wanted her to weigh herself every day for 30 days in the morning. And we're going to track it. We're going to see where that kind of accountability gets her. And I turned it into like two 30-minute videos because the first one was just me and her. She needed to get on with it. She needed to crack on with it. And she was willing to do that. Like, she doesn't feature in the video. She remains nameless. All I do is put up photos of her numbers. And she's very much a person who doesn't think that she has an impact on many people around her. She's very shy about herself, very low self-esteem and things like that. And then what I did is I put that YouTube video out there, got a nice response and everything else. And then about 2 months after we started this, I got like 5 or 6 messages from people going, I watched that YouTube video and this is what I've achieved. And I got about 10 graphs from clients and people like that who started weighing themselves every day. And I said to this client, you have to go and watch that second video because you have a lot. You've inspired 10, 11 people to lose loads of weight. And that you've changed their lives. I didn't do it. She's like, well, you're the one who put the videos out there. I'm like, no, I didn't do it. You gave me the opportunity to do that. You're the person who's done it. Like, you can never underestimate the effect you're having on people. And it's something that everyone who's listening to this should remember. When it, you know, even just a smile in Waitrose or Sainsbury's or wherever you are, it can change someone's day. It really can. And to your point, like, Terry is, if you follow me, if you listen to this and you follow me on Instagram, you ask me questions or whatever, Terry is very much built from the same mold as I am. In terms of that, you know, he's so helpful. He's so generous with his time. He's so lovely. He's very nice. And he's, and if you're single, ladies, I think he is as well. And he's quite good looking too. And he's just going to help you tons. So please do reach out to him, ask him questions. And if he gives you any advice that's contrary to what I tell you about a calorie deficit, let me know. I'll have a shout at him.
We won't, mate. We're cut from the same cloth. It's all
we indeed we are, aren't we? Which is always a good thing. Right. Well, thanks for being here, Terry. Like, I really appreciate you giving up your time today. All right, matey. And I'll see you very soon, yeah?
Yeah. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Awesome. Cheers, buddy.
Bye. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. Today, I've got an awesome guest for you. He's a very good friend of mine. He has done some astounding things over lockdown in terms of his business. He is a personal trainer. His name is Terry Anderson. And he went from 0 followers on TikTok to 70,000 in about 6 months, which is pretty impressive. And the quality of his content is very, very high, as you would expect. Otherwise, I wouldn't get him on something like The Fitness Solution. I just wanted to get him on and talk to him because I've noticed on TikTok especially, but on social media in general, obviously it has its good points and its bad points, has its highs and its lows, but TikTok is a very brutal place. It reminds me a lot of what Instagram was like maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. And some of the advice out there is terrifyingly worrying. It's completely unsolicited. It's, you've got people with politics degrees advising people on how to do a celery juice diet. It's just a massive mishmash, and there's lots of people getting a lot of traction on there. And I just wanted to talk to Terry about what he's seen on there, some of the good things, some of the bad things, and get a balance of it all, and to basically put out a public service announcement to say, look, be very careful who you take your advice from in general. He's a lovely guy. I'd recommend you go and follow him at Terry, at Coach Anderson UK, I believe it is. I better check that now. He's going to kill me for this. At Coach Anderson UK. And he's just a lovely bloke, as you'll hear on the recording and the interview. Don't forget, you can join the Fitness Collective at any moment you want, which is my exclusive members group for clients, where there's 250 workouts, 250 meal plans, there's yoga, there's meditations, there's motivation challenges, you get weekly coaching from me, you get coaching calls. It's the lot. It's your one-stop shop for fitness, fat loss, and fun. If you want to join that, then just head to www.thegymstarter.com and all the information is in there. Right, that's enough from me. Let's head over to Coach Anderson UK. And the next voice you'll hear will be me and Terry having a good old chinwag.